My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog speaking rhetorically in that clip, but it will be 21 years September. Us too. We too in this room.
How long have we been doing this? Yeah, right.
21.
Been a ride, man.
This show can drink in like 6 weeks.
Oh, sweet.
Can't wait for this show to be able to drink. Neither can you out there. We know it. Joining us now, our friend Alex Gold from 610 Sports in Kansas City. The Chiefs and Bills, of course, have much in common. They both went 11-6 last year. They've each won 4 straight division titles. The Bills have actually
Cut
had the Chiefs'
out.
Number with 3 consecutive, I don't watch the playoffs, 3 consecutive regular season triumphs.
Listen to this guy,
all
Alex.
On the road.
Oh
all
gosh.
On the road. You know, many similarities, many comparisons have been drawn. Alex, how's your summer until now?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? No, it's been good. You know, it's been a fairly eventful summer in Kansas City. We actually have a baseball team to also talk about for the first time in a while.
Yes.
So it's been good.
Yes.
Also, yeah, and there's been a lot of drama about where these two teams are going to be playing in the not so distant future too. Sorry, not to like get off on that, but that's maybe a little tense. Although I think there's not
another similarity
leaving the area, but they're right.
We have a new stadium being built.
Right.
Another similarity.
Where does that all stand, Alex?
Well, we've referenced your guys' stadium and the public money being used because it's a hot topic here. You're exactly right. And for those that don't know, both the Royals and Chiefs reside in Kansas City, Missouri right now at the Truman Sports Complex, and they both would like to either maybe in the Chiefs' case renovate, if not get a new stadium. The Royals for sure want to move to a new stadium, and so you know you can move 20 minutes west and be in the state of Kansas. It's still Kansas City, but that's the debate right now, and where's the money coming from, and they have till 2031 to actually get it figured out, but I don't have to tell you guys, it takes some time to build these stadiums.
Right,
so hopefully,
right.
We'll see.
Playoff team, the Royals?
I think so. I don't believe they're going to win the division. You know, people are upset with me here locally in the last week or so. I've said that I'm really not going to – I kind of refuse to talk about the AL Central race. I just don't believe they're going to get in as a division winner. I believe it's a wild card. And, yeah, they're going to be into the last week. I ultimately think they'll be a wild card team when it's all said and done.
Okay. Perhaps the first ever Royals question in those near 21 years on our show, but long overdue. They have won a World Series in that span with Alex Gold. So Alex, I'll just tell you how I feel. I think maybe Bulldog agrees, but as difficult as it has been for Bills fans, and I think, you know, much of the league watching Kansas City win these 2 years. Not because you just necessarily would always hate on a Super Bowl winner, but man, the Chiefs with all that adversity last year and somewhat the year before, still winning anyway, really it's kind of confusing and tough to think about. But I think this year they should be better. I mean, with what has been, you know, written and said about too high safeties and the limitations the Chiefs and other teams with great quarterbacks faced, I don't know, man. They went hard after wide receiver this year. If their defense isn't as good, that's even better for their offense, you know, maybe, at least in terms of the numbers. Do you sort of share the feeling that it's sort of counterintuitive, maybe, because they've won 2 straight, 3 and 5, but maybe there's a higher ceiling still?
There is. I mean, that is what's wild about the situation. We were actually talking here on our show recently about, well, let's say it's October, let's say it's November this year, and pick whatever issue comes up, whether it's, once again, wide receiver, whether it's turnovers, whether it's the defense not being as good, and, you know, the thing that fans are guilty of, well, you know, they don't fix this. You know, they're just not, there's no way they can get to the Super Bowl and win. Well, after last year, I don't know how to even approach that conversation, because whatever that issue might be in November, if there is one, anybody trying to claim that that's too big of a hurdle for them to actually win, like, I just kind of have to laugh at this point. I mean, what did they have faced so much adversity in recent years, different issues. Last year was the wide receivers, and yet they went on a tough road through the postseason and still ended up with the same prize that they were seeking. And so, you know, that's weird just how to approach this season. But in terms of the roster and offensively, yes, I agree with you. I think they will be a better team. I think they'll get back to being a 12-plus win team after winning 11 last season. And Patrick Mahomes at training camp, the first day he showed up here, guys, acknowledged that a lot of the same guys are back, and they didn't enjoy the regular season. They didn't enjoy that, despite, of course, getting the Super Bowl. You know, that it wasn't a fun year just because of the frustrations, the issues that they had. We all remember the Christmas Day game against the Raiders where they got embarrassed, and you thought that would, and I guess that was rock bottom. But everybody thought, okay, there's just, you know, there's no way they're going to get this thing figured out this year. And then, of course, they did.
It's so funny, as you're talking about the Raiders and that Christmas Day game, I'm watching footage of Raiders at training camp, Raiders players at training camp, with a Kermit doll dressed up like Mahomes, making fun. Like, I don't have the audio, so I don't know what's happening.
The Raiders should shut up.
But yeah, Matt Verderam, who we've had on the show frequently, just imagine doing this when Mahomes has more playoff games, has won more playoff games in Las Vegas than the Raiders have. There's one national media going, like, yeah, maybe you should keep it down.
Oh,
Raiders.
The Super Bowl in Vegas.
Right.
So 1-0.
Is the score.
Yeah,
right.
That was that made it sweeter, guys. I'll be honest, for a lot of people here in Kansas City, they got to celebrate in the Raiders locker room. That's for sure.
Well, I know we're going to want to talk about the revamped receiver core, because that was such a flashpoint for the Chiefs last season, and they, like we've already talked about, still managed to win anyway. How about the defense? Le'Jarius Sneed, big shutdown corner, big, I would think, big shoes to fill. The defense is largely why the Chiefs, I think, in my opinion anyway, Alex, were able to win that Super Bowl, and maybe even the one before it, if you want it. Are things going to be okay over there? Because Sneed seems like, I mean, a top-of-the-class type of player.
Well, in camp so far, I mean, it's not a camp full of all these storylines across the board. I mean, and especially on the defensive side. I mean, yes, Sneed's absence is a large one. He was one of the best corners in football. I mean, there's a little bit of a storyline. Who's going to be the number two corner? There's a storyline right now on, you know, Justin Reed, the Chiefs starting safeties on the NFI list. He has a quad injury. It sounds like he might miss all of camp, and therefore maybe you put week one into question. But other than that, this is a very similar group. And if you're asking the biggest concern about the defense and how do they fall back a little bit, yeah, it would be the number two corner spot not having Sneed. But the reason why they're able to walk on Sneed or trade Sneed is because they do have Trent McDuffie, who is, I think, consensus top three corner in the league. And I think by the end of the season, there's a chance he could be viewed as the number one corner in the NFL. And so when you have that guy, how many teams have two shutdown corners? The Chiefs did last year. But having only one, I mean, what's the fallback? You know, do they fall from a top two or three defense to 7-10. I think that's probably a possibility if you think they're not going to have Legarius Sneed back there and there's a drop to Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson, whoever wins the number cornerback job. But other than that, the defensive line guys, they pretty much brought back everybody. We know about Chris Jones. We know about George Karlaftis, but they also brought back some other interior pieces. In their linebacking core, they lose Willie Gay, but they have Drew Tranquil now going to be more of the starter. They upgrade. I still think overall in the secondary on the safety side with some depth now that they get some younger guys back that they lost in the season. So I don't know if they're going to be as good defensively as a season ago, but you mentioned this a few minutes ago. If the offense goes from 13th or 14th in points per game and suddenly they're back to 5 or better, mm-hmm. Well, your defense can probably slip to yep. 8-10 and you're all right.
Alex Gold, our guest. Alex, who's the number one receiver there this year, end of the day, end of the season? And I won't cop out by excluding Kelce, because what we saw, I would say, maybe you would correct me, last year with the Chiefs, maybe it's a little bit revisionist perhaps, but that what's the story on the year he had? Well, you know, we're kind of saving him. Like, he was on the field, but it wasn't until the playoffs. During the regular season in fantasy, we're all talking about whether Kelce was done. And then in the playoffs, he was incredible. So maybe that he's even talked about this. Maybe this year, again, they're sort of managing the workload a little bit. You've, of course, got Rashee Rice, who may or may not be suspended this year. I mean, now we're talking about perhaps that happening next year lately. Of course, Hollywood Brown and then the first-round pick, Worthy. How would you rank these guys for, you know, your expectations for how they produce?
Well, I think Rice is the number one, and I agree with you. It's trending more and more like suddenly the suspension may not happen until 2025. And so if you got Rashee Rice heading into the season playing a full year and there's no suspension – he's definitely the number one. You know, I think his life could be a little bit easier on the field if they're going to now have some deep threats in that offense that they didn't have a year ago. And so, you know, I'm pretty bullish on Hollywood Brown, whether you're talking fantasy football or otherwise. I know he only has one 1,000-yard season in his career, but I actually think he's capable of getting back there. He comes to Kansas City. They have been really focused throughout camp already on the deep ball, which is something that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had for a couple of years, really since Tyreek Hill. And it's not that they couldn't scheme MVS or Mecole Hardman even at times open. Those guys couldn't either track the ball or they couldn't simply catch the ball. Yeah. I think that gets fixed with Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy, you mentioned him. I mean, that's the other guy that can extend the field. It's going to be Hollywood Brown and Worthy that'll be the big play. Spread out the defense should make life easier for Rice and Travis Kelce, much easier than they had earlier on in the season. And so that, I would say number one for sure, though, is Rashee Rice. Number two receiver would be Hollywood Brown. And then number three, Worthy. But, you know, I think you're going to still see at times Justin Watson mixing in there because he's a reliable option for them in this offense. We saw last year at times how vital he was, the second leading receiver, guys, on this team. That's how ugly it got at times. And so it's a much better wide receiver room. And I think the question with Worthy is going to be, with him missing some time this offseason, how much trust does Andy Reid have early? Even with Rice last year, it was until they had to do it. Yeah. They didn't really go to Rice till week 8. So Worthy this year, he's missed most of the offseason. He's missed a couple days here at camp. He's dealing with strep throat. Tomorrow's the first padded practice. Hopefully he's back for that, because if Andy doesn't trust you to know the system, you guys know it's going to be multiple weeks before they'll actually integrate him into the offense. Excuse me.
How much of a role, if any, is there left for recent fairly high draft picks? Well, Tony wasn't a draft pick, but he was a trade that included, you know, pretty high picks, and then Sky Moore as well. Are they pretty much afterthoughts at this point?
Well, there's a roster crunch. You know, I think there's a chance one of those two guys doesn't make the team. You start going through the depth chart. You know, they kept 7 wide receivers a year ago. So even if they keep 7 this year, you know that Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Justin Watson are all locks. There's 4. I tend to believe Mecole Hardman is 5. So then you're talking about 2 spots for Moore, Tony, some other guys that fans in Buffalo probably don't even know, and that's fine. They're way down on the depth chart. Justin Ross, Nico Remigio. I mean, 1-2 of those guys are getting cut. I could see a scenario where Sky Moore's not on the team, but I'll tell you, with Tony, what's interesting for him, one, the financial aspect. He's got $2.5 million no matter what, whether they keep him or cut him. So that there's that money involved versus Sky Moore, who's who's still on a rookie deal. And then they've been lining up Kadarius Toney at running back, which has been a story so far. And how real is that? You know, Pacheco's the top back, number two back. Maybe it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe it's the guy named Denarius Prince. But they really are intrigued by potentially having Toney in the backfield in some circumstances. And if that happens, well, suddenly he's more valuable on the roster. They really just can't quit this guy, though. A lot of fans wanted him gone, you know, mid-season, but they also wanted him gone even after the Super Bowl, and yet it looks like he's going to probably be on this team.
This will not surprise Bulldog, who knows it's kind of a bit in here, Alex. Like, I'm gullible. As much as coaches tell you that really they're not sincere, I tend to believe them anyway. So yesterday, Matt Nagy on Toney, I thought he made perfect sense. I thought it was fine. Like, you know, we want to play to his strengths. He's athletic and all this. I'm like, okay, maybe I should be drafting him.
Put him in the backfield, keep him away from the line of scrimmage.
How about this? Listen to Buffalo flexing in front of Alex.
Oh, man.
I mean, everybody in fantasy seems to want to draft CEH. I mean, he's been there a long time.
I don't get that. I saw that. I saw some of the sites. You're way more into fantasy football than me, and I saw a lot of the sites have him as a sleeper. You tell me where I'm missing. I'm here in Kansas City, and we don't get it. You know, he's the number two back, and he's a very fine number two running back. I'm fine with that situation behind Pacheco. McKinnon's not part of the picture anymore. Unless Pacheco goes down, this team doesn't run the ball that much anyway, and especially if they're going to have some deep threats. How is Clyde Edwards-Helaire a fantasy option?
Well, it would be only if there's an injury, and that's what that is predicated on, like a last-round pick. The guys you're drafting there, you just want to have a path. And so the bet is he'll be on the roster, and if that's tenuous, then you wouldn't make it. But based on his longevity with the team, familiarity, et cetera, then the bet is that he would be next after Pacheco. But if that's wrong, and I'm listening to Toney, then because a lot of those backups, you know, there's also an easy argument against them ever doing anything. But if there's an injury, is always the bet. But you know, Edwards-Helaire, I mean, how long has it been? And he's really never flashed, you know.
Right. Well, a lot of people didn't think he'd be back. Oh, that was kind of a surprise. You know, they brought in J.K. Dobbins for a visit, who ultimately signed with the Chargers, and that's who I actually was hoping they were going to sign because, you know, high upside, he can't stay healthy, but if he's my number two back, I don't hate it. And they ended up, the same day they had Dobbins in for a visit, they signed Clyde. So I think it was a little bit of a leverage play for the Chiefs when they brought in Dobbins.
Yeah. How interesting are the first two games for you? Home to Baltimore, home to Cincinnati.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, we're here fired up, you know, especially after the start to last year's season and that losing that opener to the Detroit Lions and what that kind of was viewed as. And ultimately, I understand, you know, we fast forward and I guess now we could laugh about it a little bit. But I think it's huge for seeding. Obviously, you talk about two of the top contenders maybe in the AFC in the first 2 weeks, and you could suddenly position yourself really nicely on the positive end if you win those games. Right, you could have advantage over the Ravens and Cincinnati right away. On the flip side, you put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit if that's the circumstance that it presents. But yeah, fans are definitely pumped for the beginning of the year. Training camp, I shouldn't say this because we go up to camp every day. We're up there tomorrow. Training camp's kind of boring here, guys. It really is. Like, I'm a little bored. There's not a whole lot going on. You know, we're debating the number three running backs. We're talking about maybe the number two corner. Like, there's, you know, starting left tackle is the most exciting spot we're talking about right now. It's just kind of, I'm ready for the season. The training camp's boring.
I'm so sorry you guys keep winning, Alex. And everyone's, and it's so boring and just so dull.
Right guard. There's got to be a few shows you can talk about right guard over there.
Yeah, isn't there some instability on the offensive line or something? Come on, like, give me something.
Left tackle. Left tackle is definitely the question mark.
Mm-hmm. Well,
is the division a walk in the park
at
this point?
Right.
Yeah, look, I like the hire the Chargers made. I think Harbaugh's a fantastic fit. He wins everywhere he goes. But that roster, they kind of cleared out a little bit. I think they're a year away from being a problem in the division. Yeah. You know, time and time again, everybody has tried to make the case for the Chargers. I do believe Justin Herbert is the right guy and is a top 10 quarterback in the league. But that roster this year, I look at that, I just think they're a year away. So, no, I just don't see a threat this year. Maybe next year if Harbaugh get some traction and they fill out some holes here. But yeah, I think this division once again will be eight straight years.
What are your thoughts on the Bills, Alex, with Diggs leaving and the other veterans on defense? When you talk about them, I know that you know, that's Buffalo, there's Cincinnati, there are other teams in the conversation, you know, in Kansas City's shadow, to put it one way. But do you feel like Buffalo is likely to take a step back this year or maybe not?
People in Kansas City think so. You know, I'm a little more skeptical, I think, on that. You know, the window to me, the window doesn't close when you have a top three quarterback in football. I mean, I just don't buy that. You know, when you have Josh Allen, the window's never closed. When you have Burrow or Mahomes, the window's never closed. So people here are definitely skeptical. I mean, the Cincinnati and Baltimore have definitely taken the stage above Buffalo here in terms of how Chiefs fans perceive competition and who the team that really is the fierce competitor, especially when you have, frankly, comments coming out of Cincinnati from Jamar Chase and Burrow, and you really don't have the same animosity in Buffalo from players towards Kansas City, at least publicly. And so that also is why Chiefs fans don't view Buffalo, I guess, maybe in the same way. I definitely have questions about the Bills, the same questions I'm sure you guys have just with the wide receiver room. I love Keon Coleman in terms of a personality. I want to see if he actually on the field, though, is going to be that guy. But we've played cut. We love the guy. He seems awesome. But I have questions about, rookie year. What can he actually do? And you trade away Stephon Diggs, who was obviously consistently one of the best receivers in football.
Very good, Alex. Well, I hope your summer is going well. I mean, boring training camp work responsibilities notwithstanding.
No, I appreciate it, guys. It's good to be on with you. And I'm sure, you know, once again, here we go. Another year, I'm sure we'll be talking later in the year. And these teams will all be battling for one of the top three or four spots in the AFC like they've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years.
Looking forward to it already. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports in Kansas City. The
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Chiefs are here week 11, 13, looking. 11.
Right before the bye.
Oh. Yep.
4:25. I assume that'll be Nance and Romo.
And Tracy Wolfson. They're still, don't sleep on Tracy
Wolfson.
Thank
you. They're still together. Did you see who's calling the opener?
Nope. That would be Arizona here. Is that Fox?
Nope.
Is it Ross?
Yes. Ross Tucker is doing the color analysis for the opener. They're pretty far down the depth chart. I
Tom McCarthy?
I think that's it.
And Ross and...
I think I saw four names. So I don't know if they have a three-person booth now.
McEntee.
But I saw that announced and Ross tweeted like, you know, up with lots of exclamation points like, I'm doing the Bills opener?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, a couple days ago they made those opening week assignments known.
I saw the graphic with all the different teams, but not games, not game assignments. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Made me think we should hit him up soon.
We've talked to him about playing in that one Bills game against Arizona in 04 when Emmett Smith was on the Cardinals. But... in the booth for Cardinals Bills, and you know he'll want to get here early.
Oh yeah, Leave him beers by his truck or whatever.
Beers by the truck. Right. Maybe on it like as early as Thursday of that week. Who knows what his plans are. Yeah, we'll definitely want to talk to him. And we hope to hear from you. 803-0550. Are the Chiefs like sort of, do they own your brain? To put it one way. Lines are open. We'll talk to Sal about day two at Bill's camp coming up at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
My optimistic mindset has won for me at times and it's lost for me at times. I don't know any other way to think. I don't know any other way to view things but the best way and the best possible scenario. So going back to last year, I mean, I would probably go about it the same way. I'm not the type of guy to come out here and say, hey, you know, my knees, it's all right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to start the season. You know, I don't like to live on those terms, on or off the football field. So if I had to go at it again, I would probably have, you know, the same type of verbiage and the same type of mindset. It's just the way I view life on and off the football field.
Von Miller. I'm pretty much, whatever you get out of Von Miller anymore is a bonus. Did you think I was going to say gravy?
No, I was expecting bonus. I know what you mean, but I'm...
You need to shoot higher.
They need something from him. It's not like to me to say like when you say that about all player. And again, I don't think it's inaccurate about him considering where he's been and what he looked like when we last saw him playing competitively. But they're just so far from all set there that without him giving you Leonard Floyd's year, say. I don't know where it's coming from. It's Rousseau and Epinesa, and then Sal will be on with us in about half an hour. Dwayne Smoot was in there. It's not surprising. Like he's been a player who's been productive when he's been healthy, but he's also coming back from an injury. He's not as old as Von Miller, but like him, and then it's like the sixth round pick. I think I'm probably skipping over Kingsley Jonathan. Sal would remind me because I feel like Sal always mentions Kingsley Jonathan because the Bills like him. There's not anything proven beyond really Rousseau and Epinesa, who are, I guess, the number ones, but they use a pretty hearty rotation there. And both of those guys, I would say, to varying degrees, Rousseau, I think, has been more dependable, the better player of the two, but neither of them are guys you got like, oh, where's he lining up? You know, like they're guys. They make their plays. They win sometimes, but to me, they're not down in, down out threats like Miller in his prime was. So I don't know where the pass rush. As much as we talk about the receivers and what's going to shake out there, I think pass rush is a pretty interesting spot to look at on this roster right now because there's just not a lot that you should be counting on, I don't think.
You're playing a much better quarterback lineup this year, too. I mean, last year, about half the Bills' opposing quarterbacks were bums. And if you're from the sacks or a quarterback stat world, like I am. This is just in terms of sacks, not pressure, not overall quality of play. It's going to be much tougher this year to put up a good number, no matter who the Bills' edge rushers are or just what they end up doing there, because of who you're playing against. Starting with Kyler, like right there, week one, you got a guy that can really cause headaches if you know, you can't contain him. And that's going to be hard to do. I mean, that's hard for any team to do. So it'll be an interesting area this year, sacks. I don't know. Miller, I guess I need to see it. I know he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I have a bad taste in my mouth about last year off the field. And, you know, on the field, there was almost nothing once he came back. He sounds good. You listen to Von Miller talk about...
Well, yeah. I mean, even he just was talking about how he was so positive last year. And, you know, now a year later, he's saying I probably shouldn't have even been playing. But last year at this time, he's like, I'm feeling great. I feel, you know, because that's how he is. He's a very positive mindset. And I'm not throwing darts at that. It's just everything he says, you kind of got to take a little bit with a grain of salt because he's just trying to keep himself, I think, focused on doing what needs to be done. Last year, that was trying to rehabilitate a torn knee ligament, and, you know, you got to get through it somehow, so power of positive thinking, but he had nothing when he got on the field.
Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I feel a little bit different about Von Miller. I was against it all last year. I didn't think he should have been playing. I thought he should have been benched. But it's rare when you see an athlete who was guaranteed the contract that he was guaranteed this year and then redo the contract with a lot less guaranteed money with a lot of incentive money, unless he really thinks. I mean, this is one of those put your money where your mouth is situations. I'm just, the fact that he took such a cut makes me believe that he really thinks he's back. I hope he is, because who in the right mind takes a cut from $20 million guaranteed to, I think, $2 million guaranteed with a bunch of incentive money, unless you really think you're going to get that incentive money. So that's my only thought. I'm hoping that he comes back and has a great year. If he doesn't, at least he did the team a favor by changing the contract, and, you know, we had more room to sign guys. So,
well, let's take a closer look, because I'm not sure we've really done this yet, at what that was, according to SpotTrack. So he lowered his base salary from $17.1 million to $1.5 million. He was given a $7 million roster bonus. And his sack incentives for this year range from $1 million for two sacks to almost 10 for 15. 15 sacks. What's a good number? Eight
to 10 would be like...
6 to 8 million.
I would sign for that. I said Leonard Floyd's year. I think he had 10. I would sign for that right now.
8.6 million. So that's to the caller's point. Like, I'll bet on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the pay cut. But if I produce, you'll pay me back.
Yeah.
I don't know how seriously, how much I want to derive from it. You know, just it's logical.
He certainly, at the very least, I think, I mean, he did the team a tremendous favor, because maybe you're having this thought too, because while Mike was talking, I thought it through and answered pretty definitively no. Like, could the team have gone to him and, like, kind of at gunpoint, you know, like, dude, like, it's a huge cap number and we're not going to keep going if you don't want to adjust it. I don't think they could afford that. Like, I don't think there was no threat of them releasing him because of the structure of the contract. Like, they would have been stuck, I think. So whether they initiated it or he did, however it went, him being receptive to it and agreeing to it is, I don't think there's any ulterior motive. I don't think there had to be any threat there. I think it just was, he just did the right thing. You know, maybe recognize that he got paid for a year where he did absolutely nothing. You hear him there talking about being judged on sacks, and he had none. He had three tackles, I think, the whole year.
Yep.
So I appreciate that he did that, because I really don't think he had to. Sometimes guys get credit for doing that when we don't know behind the scenes there was some threat of the whole thing being torn up and you being on the street and going looking for a new team, and some guys might welcome that, whatever. But given where he was in his career and where the contract was, I don't think there's any way the Bills could have leveraged that. So I think he voluntarily did that, and that's to his credit.
He has made, according to SpotTrack as well, $178 million in his career. So not to say that a few million dollars right, isn't meaningful, but it's not like the guy, you know, has been hard up or anything, or at least he shouldn't be. Just want to say this. I was thinking about this morning. I don't know why it came to mind, but every once in a while, I stop and just ponder the amazingness.
What is about to happen?
The Josh Allen's touchdown stats just blow my mind.
Yeah.
54 touchdowns rushing or receiving. I guess maybe that includes a receiving touchdown or two. In his career, not including passing touchdowns, 54. He has scored 54 touchdowns, which is fourth all time in Bills history. He probably won't pass third. He won't crack the top three this year. Last year, he scored an incredible 15 rushing touchdowns. Despite half the year-ish, the Bills really not wanting him to run. It doesn't include playoffs, where he had three more last year alone. But 54 in 6 years. So who has more? OJ had 70 touchdowns for the Bills in 9 seasons. 70. The pace he has set, Allen gets there next year. 25.
All right.
At the latest, the year after.
Yep.
So within the next 2 years, Allen passes O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Maybe you've heard of him. In touchdowns scored for the Bills. And then you have, tied at the top, is Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed with 87. Same number. And that'll be, that's 33 touchdowns away. That's 4 years. Maybe less. By the time he turns 32, he's still under contract. He's under this contract.
Yep.
Where he probably becomes the Bills' all-time leading scorer, touchdown scorer, which is unbelievable.
As a quarterback.
As a quarterback.
Right.
Yep. I like that Thurman and Andre have the same number.
Yeah, me too. I guess I don't, it's not a chart I look at, but I didn't know that. I probably knew it other times and have forgotten it, but that is pretty cool.
87.
Yeah.
I heard a good one of these today, by the way, listening to a baseball podcast. So Prince Fielder has a son who either is drafted or was called up.
Oh, come on. Cecil Fielder's son, Prince, has a son who's been drafted. That's incredible. That's awesome.
Drafted or...
Yeah.
There was some news about... I listened to the CBS...
He's coming.
Okay. ...baseball podcast, and they mentioned... I was half asleep, but they mentioned Prince Fielder's son. And Chris Towers, one of the hosts, I think is excellent, pointed out that Prince Fielder and Cecil Fielder hit exactly the same number of home runs. 319. Love that.
That is really cool.
I think maybe if I'm Prince Fielder, I get to 319. I'm like, that's it.
Yep, I'm done.
I'm just going to be tied with Dad.
Right.
Or, you know, other people be like, I have to get one more. I have to beat Dad.
Mm.
So 319, I didn't know until today that they both had the same number of career homers.
I don't remember the end of his career, so I don't know if he was like straggling to the finish line, hanging on, trying to get one more, or he, you know, was still, you know, reasonably good and just went, yeah, I'm out. I'm good.
I don't know.
I don't remember. That was a player we paid a bit of attention to him. Me and the kids.
Okay.
Owen more than, but Leo had a period where he was into baseball, and we saw him play with the Tigers in Baltimore. That might be the last major league game, well, aside from seeing the Red Sox play Toronto and Buffalo,
right.
That's the last major league ballpark I've been in, I guess, would be that game.
Fielder's career ended mid-July in 2016 with Texas, so I don't know why. Maybe he got hurt.
Yeah.
But ended on the same number of homers, 319, as his father. Sal Capaccio joins us in 20 minutes, day two of Bills camp at St. John Fisher. Were you there? What did you see? We'll ask Sal that question and more coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Yes, welcome back. We are sort of into football season now with Bills camp starting at St. John Fisher, my alma mater. Back then, I know as the show ever sounded older, it was known as St. John Fisher College. I'm guessing it's very much the same, you know, in terms of the curriculum, the educational value, just prowess of the school, just, even though now it's known as university.
Just clumsier to say, if you're used to saying it the other way.
I'll never get used to it.
Is the same thing. I don't.
You know. So is Buff State.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My alma mater.
You got to change the signs.
Yeah. Right.
Who wants to change the signs?
What is Buff State called now?
Buffalo State University.
Buffalo State University. Because when I was going there, the official name of it was State University College at Buffalo.
Ugh. That's so long ago.
So some of us used to call it Suck at Buff.
Some of you used to call it that?
Some of us. Not me. I would never stoop to such.
But my grandmother went there. It was Buffalo State Teachers College.
State Teachers College, right. Right.
That would have been like 1933.
Has the show ever sounded older?
1930-ish?
Sure.
Yeah. ECC, SUNY Erie.
Hang on, I got to adjust my socks and my sandals. Hang on.
SUNY Erie.
Yep. I went there, too.
You did?
Yeah. ECC, 2 years. Food service.
Nice. Is there a plaque? Any sort of reference to you?
I have a plaque. I have a...
You have a diploma.
I have a diploma.
They don't have a plaque.
I think.
Of you.
I have a diploma.
I don't have one either.
I went to a graduation and was handed it. I'm pretty sure Buff State mailed me one because I didn't go to graduation.
I think you have to donate.
Yeah.
I think if you donate a lot, you definitely get your name on something.
Yeah.
I think if you don't, you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
That's how college seems to me.
Well,
you got to donate.
I guess I'm shut out. Not planning to. I haven't started now. I'm not going to. Not starting now.
Why not? You could start now.
I'm not gonna.
Okay.
I got more guitars to buy. I don't have time.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know. Not holding back. Not afraid to tell us how he really feels. Shane is with us. Hello, Shane.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes. Sure.
I wanted to kind of pick your guys' brains in regards to Josh over the last 5 years. I went through a YouTube video the other night. It's a 57-minute long compilation of Josh Allen highlights over the last 5 years. And I'm watching receivers we used to have, right, between John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. Okay. And I'm comparing them in my own head to the training camp roster right now. And I know that there's a lot of concern in regards to, like, are the Bills as good as they used to be? Or are they going to be able to compete and have the weapons to put up points? My question to you guys is there really that big of a difference between Curtis Samuel and Gabe Davis or Khalil Shakir versus Cole Beasley? Like, do we really have that great of a concern that Josh isn't going to be able to put points on the board with what we have?
Well, I don't think there's my opinion would be Beasley was elite while he was here in his prime. It tailed off. So I wouldn't want to say could Shakir become that? Yeah. Am I ready to assume he is that? I mean, I'm bullish on him, but that's a pretty high bar. I mean, Beasley was one of, if not the best slot receiver in the league for a period of time that included while he was here. You know, Brown and Samuel, I might tell you, I think that could be a wash. What you're leaving out is the number one guy. Like, Diggs was not here at the beginning of that. Beasley and Brown preceded him by a year. But by 20, when Allen blasted off, Diggs is here. So there's not a comparable to him here at all. That just doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's hard to take. I don't know what to do with the question when it intentionally leaves Diggs' name out of it, right? You want Coleman to be Davis, at least. I heard the morning show today, and it was good. Like, would you take Davis's rookie year for Coleman? It was like 7 touchdowns. Absolutely. So there's your one comp. If Shakir has Beasley's career, he's done really well. Like,
yeah.
He's not somebody the NFL has ever cared about. So I don't know. Maybe because he has Allen, maybe the Bills will lean into him. I just kind of doubt it. Samuel's pretty good, but so was Brown. So was Sanders. You know, those were good players too. So, do the Bills have the same caliber receiving core as they did with Brown, Beasley, and Sanders, if that's the list? I mean, Diggs was on the team when Sanders was on the team, but
right. If
that's the question you're asking, I think you should hope so. That's what I would say. I would hope so. I would take it. Brown was excellent. Beasley was excellent. Sanders was a very good player in the league. He wasn't here long. But Coleman being so raw and Samuel, other guys here, like nobody's ever been a number one. So I'm a little dubious.
I would get there with Shakir. I like him a lot. I like him to be the leading pass catcher on this team. That's a receiver, not a tight end. I think Kincaid will do that. If I knew he was going to be used the way Beasley was used, I'd be right here for like, okay, sign me up for 90 catches. But I don't know that that's going to happen because of the style of guys they've got all around him. You know, with Kincaid and Knox, and so, like, is you know, the slot occupied, Samuel moving around. Like, I just don't know where Shakir is going to be. If he was their slot receiver for 80% of the snaps, I think he would kill it. I think he's shown an ability to work coverages and get open and is reliable when the ball gets near him, but I just don't know how he's going to be used. So I can't get all the way there, but I think he's got a lot of potential, even though he's, you know, not that highly regarded.
We will see. And I think best case for the Bills, maybe not day one this year, but eventually, is for Coleman to be the slot, because that's what everybody who analyzes receivers says he would be best at. And then what does that mean for Kincaid? Because one of those two guys will suffer if that's where they end up, or they just bury Knox, which I don't think they'll want to do. We will see in time. Sal Capaccio with his report next on day two from Fisher. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Thanks for the call, Shane. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. I went there, too.
You did?
Yeah. ECC. 2 years. Food service.
Nice. Is there a plaque? Any sort of reference to you?
I have a plaque.
You have a diploma.
I have a diploma.
They don't have a plaque.
I think
of you.
I have a diploma.
I don't have one either.
I went to a graduation and was handed it. I'm pretty sure Buff State mailed me one because I didn't go to graduation.
I think you have to donate.
Yeah.
I think if you donate a lot, you definitely get your name on something.
Yeah.
I think if you don't, you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
That's how college seems to me.
Well,
you got to donate.
I guess I'm shut out. Not planning to. I haven't started now. I'm not gonna. Not starting now.
Why not? You could start now.
I'm not gonna.
Okay. Okay.
I got more guitars to buy. I don't have time.
Oh wow! Wow. You know. Not holding back. Not afraid to tell us how he really feels. Shane is with us. Hello, Shane.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
Yes. Sure.
I wanted to kind of pick your guys' brains in regards to Josh over the last 5 years. I went through a YouTube video the other night. It's a 57-minute long compilation of Josh Allen highlights over the last 5 years. And I'm watching what receivers we used to have, right? Between John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. Okay, and I'm comparing them in my own head to the training camp roster right now. And I know that there's a lot of concern in regards to, like, are the Bills as good as they used to be? Or are they going to be able to compete and have the weapons to put up points? My question to you guys is there really that big of a difference between Curtis Samuel and Gabe Davis? Or Khalil Shakir versus Cole Beasley? Like, do we really have that great of a concern that Josh isn't going to be able to put points on the board with what we have?
Well, I don't think there's my opinion would be Beasley was elite while he was here in his prime. It tailed off. So I wouldn't want to say, could Shakir become that? Yeah. Am I ready to assume he is that? I mean, I'm bullish on him, but that's a pretty high bar. I mean, Beasley was one of, if not the best slot receiver in the league for a period of time that included while he was here. You know, Brown and Samuel, I might tell you, I think that could be a wash. What you're leaving out is the number one guy. Like, Diggs was not here at the beginning of that. Beasley and Brown preceded him by a year. But by 20, when Allen blasted off, Diggs is here. So there's not a comparable to him here at all. That just doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's hard to take. I don't know what to do with the question when it intentionally leaves Diggs' name out of it, right? You want Coleman to be Davis, at least. I heard the morning show today, and it was good. Like, would you take Davis's rookie year for Coleman? It was like 7 touchdowns. Absolutely. So there's your one comp. If Shakir has Beasley's career, he's done really well. Like, yeah. He's not somebody the NFL has ever cared about. So, I don't know, maybe because he has Allen, maybe the Bills will lean into him. I just kind of doubt it. Samuel's pretty good, but so was Brown. So was Sanders. You know, those were good players too. So, do the Bills have the same caliber receiving core as they did with Brown, Beasley, and Sanders, if that's the list? I mean, Diggs was on the team when Sanders was on the team, but right. If that's the question you're asking, I think you should hope so. That's what I would say. I would hope so. I would take it. Brown was excellent. Beasley was excellent. Sanders was a very good player in the league. He wasn't here long. But Coleman being so raw and Samuel, other guys here, like nobody's ever been a number one. So I'm a little dubious.
I would get there with Shakir, and I like him a lot. I like him to be the leading pass catcher on this team. That's a receiver, not a tight end. I think Kincaid will do that. If I knew he was going to be used the way Beasley was used, I'd be right here for like, okay, sign me up for 90 catches. But I don't know that that's going to happen because of the style of guys they've got all around him. Yeah, you know, with Kincaid and Knox, and so like is you know the slot occupied, Samuel moving around. Like I just don't know where Shakir is going to be. If he was their slot receiver for 80% of the snaps, I think he would kill it. But I think he's shown an ability to work coverages and get open and is reliable when the ball gets near him. But I just don't know how he's going to be used. So I can't get all the way there, but I think he's got a lot of potential, even though he's, you know, not that highly regarded.
We will see. And I think best case for the Bills, maybe not day one this year, but eventually is for Coleman to be the slot, because that's what everybody who analyzes receivers says he would be best at. And then what does that mean for Kincaid? Because one of those two guys will suffer if that's where they end up, or they just bury Knox, which I don't think they'll want to do. We will see in time. Sal Capaccio with his report next on day two from Fisher. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Thanks for the call, Shane. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.